Records. Well, his name is David Icke, and he's now a regular guest here on Coast to Coast AM, and we'll be back with David, and he will share with us many stories, including his latest book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth. Everything else is illusion. On Coast to Coast AM. David Icke is a former professional soccer player, journalist, and network anchorman with the BBC. He was the spokesman in the 1980s for the British Green Party, and since 1990, a full-time investigator into who and what is really controlling the world. He's the author of 15 books, including Alice in Wonderland and the World Trade Center Disaster, and his latest book, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is Illusion. On his never-ending quest for the truth, he simply says the cutting edge just moved. Never before has a book explained with such clarity why physical reality is merely an illusion that only exists in our brain. But David Icke's information, presented in a way that everyone can understand, is a life-changing exposure of both the illusion we believe to be real and the way this illusion is generated and manipulated to imprison us in a false reality. He's our guest back again on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, David, how are you?
I'm good, George.
Always good to talk with you, my friend. You know, the technology is fantastic. Here you are in the United Kingdom. I'm in St. Louis right now, soon to head back to Los Angeles, where our signal's being fed back to. I mean, isn't this something? I love it.
Yeah, it's very good for me, too, and understanding the nature of reality, because particularly the Internet is the more I've understood, is a wonderful symbol for the nature of the reality we live in. We live in a holographic Internet, and just as you can log on to the Internet with a computer in China or America or Germany or England and share what is the same reality, so the more and more seems clear to me that what we're actually doing through the DNA, which is a crystalline receiver transmitter, and the brain, is logging in to a holographic Internet and turning waveforms, broadcasts, like the television broadcasts in waveform and the television turns it into pictures, we're turning them into holographic pictures, holographic reality, and believing it to be solid and real. And that's the key to holding us in prison, believing an illusion is real.
You know, David, I've been looking at your works for a number of years now, and, you know, if one could look at a complete puzzle, you wouldn't really know what that puzzle looked like until many of those pieces were put together. Almost like your works that you've been doing over the years now, to me, you've been telling us and painting us a broad puzzle, and every little ingredient that you've presented has been a piece of that puzzle. Is my perception correct that what you have been doing now is almost a complete picture?
I think, George, the biggest mistake that people can make is to believe they've got the picture. When anyone tells me they've got the picture, they're telling me they haven't, because there's a great quote by a Greek philosopher called Socrates, which is, wisdom is knowing how little we know. And you're absolutely correct in your analysis that what I've been doing is, over the years, putting puzzle pieces together, connecting dots. But the trick is not to think that at any point you have found the last dot, because my journey has began with an amazing kind of what you might call spiritual experience, which opened the top of my head up and blew it off, really. And from that moment, I started having an amazing series of synchronistic experiences, which led me to information, people who had information, which put together a picture of how the world in the five sense level of reality is manipulated by a few interbreeding families through a network of secret societies, to the very end that we're seeing unfold on the news now every day, the centralization of power to the point where the few control the many on a vast scale. Then this journey and these puzzle pieces took me into the fact that other dimensional entities, under other dimensional influences beyond the tiny, tiny frequency that human sight can access, were also manipulating this five-sense reality we call the physical world. And now with this book, it's taken another leap forward into what is this whole multidimensional reality that we are experiencing? What is it? How's it generated? How come that although people, you know, increasingly say, and they have done for centuries, the mystics and the seers, that we create our own reality? How come then that if I looked out of my window here and you looked out of my window here, George, we'd both see the same car go past? How is this collective reality generated?
And
because of this, the series of experiences that I had in the time running up to starting to write this book and during it, it became very clear to me that, you know, what I mentioned a few minutes ago is basically what we're experiencing. We are in a holographic version of the internet, and we are logging in through the DNA, through the brain, to a collective reality, and then we put our own spin on that reality by how we react to it. For instance, we could both see that same car, but we would differ on what we thought of it.
Well, and as you were saying, as you connect the dots, I think every time you connect a dot to another dot, you find another dot, don't you?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, yeah, it's funny, George, you know, because every time I finish a book, I think, well, what am I going to do now? I mean, you know, where do I go from here? And then within weeks, another massive area opens up and you think, oh, crikey, here we go again. So, you know, reality is not only infinite in its sense of existence, it's also infinite in its possibilities. Therefore, anyone that gets themselves in a state where they think they have sussed it, where they think that they now understand what reality is and what possibility is and what's possible, they've just built themselves another prison a bit further down the road from someone else, because all possibility means all possibility. So where are the rules in all possibility? There are none, except those that we invent for ourselves and imprison ourselves with.
You know, David, as we see these events unfolding all around the world and some of the past things that you've worked on, I got to tell you this funny, interesting story. Last week, unbeknownst to the person I was talking to, that you were going to be on the program, she was talking to another individual, and after she was done talking to this guy, she turned to me and said, George, did you notice his eyes? And I went, yeah, they were a little strange. They had this yellow cast to it, and they were kind of beady. And she said, he's a reptilian. And she said, I wish to God I could get this to David Icke. And little did she know, she was going to. It's just a small world of synchronicity. But there are people like that all around this planet, aren't there?
Yeah, there are. And see, people just need to appreciate that what they get through the mainstream media is a tiny, tiny fraction of what's actually happening in the world. In many ways, it's symbolic of how we look through our eyes and we think we're seeing everything that there is to exist in the space that we're looking at, when actually we're seeing the most infinitesimal fraction. I go into this in the new book, and the figures are ridiculous. The electromagnetic spectrum is about 0.005% of what is predicted to exist in the universe by mainstream science. Even that is only what they have understood exists up to this point. And visible light, which is all that we can actually, quote, see, is a fraction of the 0.005%. So what we've got ourselves into is a situation where, as one writer said, we're virtually blind, and yet we believe we can see everything. And this is a prison of self-delusion and implanted delusion, which gets so many people to dismiss that which is beyond what they can see. I mean, you know, I say to people, just look on the figures that I've just given. Just look at the unbelievable diversity of form that exists within that tiny frequency range that we can access with the human sight. And then imagine the diversity of form that exists in that vast infinity that our eyes cannot access. And then laugh again at the fact that there are entities, some that take reptilian form and many other forms. Of course, we're dealing with infinite possibility. Of course, they take infinite forms that are what we would call intelligent life and can manipulate this reality that we are experiencing. Unless we realize the nature of reality and what we can access with the five senses, we are going to have an amazingly perverted view of possibility and therefore dismiss that which is happening but we cannot actually perceive with the five senses. And this is why, George, and I go into this in the book, society is structured to hold us in five-sense reality. Look at the whole way that it's made up. It's there to entice and to stimulate the five senses of sight, of touch, of smell, of sound, all these things. And if we, because there's nothing wrong with the five senses, experience them. But if we believe that that's who we are, then we are going to be held in this prison of perception instead of opening ourselves to the infinite consciousness that we are. We're going to be operating on a fraction of our infinite potential. And that's why, you know, society is structured like this. And again, we come down to the mainstream media. The reason it shows like yours and others around the world that put out this stuff and not the mainstream, you know, the CBSs and the NBCs, is because that which wishes to control humanity knows that if it doesn't hold the mass of the people in the five sense prison, and the five sense reality, then we're going to start opening up and see the white bits between the words. In other words, see beyond the manipulated illusion that is projected at us all the time. And it's very interesting when I was putting this book together to see just how much of this stuff mainstream science has already established to be true, but it has not connected the dots, because so many of these disciplines of science, they don't talk to each other. And people are focusing on the twigs and they can't see the forest. And the forest is that we are living in an illusion which we are generating, not least through our own belief. As psychological experiments have shown, we are constantly editing the information we receive to fit a preconceived belief, a preconceived idea of reality. I remember talking to Credo Mutwa, the Zulu shaman, the official historian of the Zulu nation. I spent 10 right. days with him recently in South Africa. It was just a fantastic experience. And he said to me years ago, when I said to him, you know, these reptilian entities, you know, so many people I've talked about experiencing them. Why don't more people experience them? And he said, because they are so fantastic compared with the reality that people generally perceive, that their brain, as he put it, edits them out, switches them out of the reality that they see. And when you, years later, I came across these psychological experiments that have been done, that's exactly what they've found. We are editing up to and sometimes more than 50% of the detail we receive in information. We're editing it in terms of putting stuff in that's not there, taking stuff out that is there, simply to formulate, to construct a reality that fits our belief. Therefore, if you can implant what people believe to be real, what people believe to be possible, then you are externally constructing their reality through this process. And some of the figures you come across when you research this stuff, here's one. The brain receives 400 billion pieces of information every second, but we are aware of just 2,000. So what the heck is happening in the rest?
It's gone. Is it gone, or is it stored somewhere?
Well, we're not picking it up on the conscious level, and there's some other figures that kind of start to form a big gray thing with a trunk sitting on the couch in the living room. 95% of the mass of the universe we can't see. We can't even see with technology, but in terms of our eyes, as I said earlier, it's a minute fraction even of that. 95% of the brain's activity doesn't relate to the waking state or, quote, physical reality, which fits with the 400 billion and the 2,000. And this is what gets a lot of people who don't realize this. It is a bit of a shocker. We believe, so many people believe, because that's the impression we're given, that all-knowing science has understood DNA. Oh, yes, we've mapped the human genome. We know what DNA is. Well, why then does mainstream science call, depending on who you talk to, between 90 and 97% of DNA? Why do they call it junk DNA? I mean, you know, as I've said in the book, I use different words, but was God having a laugh? I mean, I'm going to throw in this DNA here, 97% of it, and it does nothing. That'll confuse them. Please. And when you look at these figures, clearly, this junk DNA, as they call it, which they don't understand, relates to these other figures of the 95% of brain activity doesn't relate to the waking state. This vast area of known existence that we cannot access, and the whole idea that we've sussed DNA is absolutely ridiculous, and it is a key to understanding the nature of reality, because I would strongly suggest that it is the receiver-transmitter that locks us into this holographic internet, just like a computer locks us into the internet that we know. And interestingly, I nearly fell off my chair when it happened. As I was finishing the book, and it was going off to be put in designed as a book, I came across this article about Russian scientists who had done this research project with geneticists and linguists and various other people of different disciplines to try to understand what this mass of junk DNA actually did. And what they concluded was that the body was a biological computer, a biological internet, which is exactly what my book has concluded, coming from a completely different point of reference and starting point. We are in a situation, I would strongly suggest, and I set out the evidence in the book, where we are identifying who we are with a biological computer we call the body, instead of understanding that what we are is infinite consciousness. And by identifying who we are with the body, I'm David Icke, I was born in Leicester, England, I'm English and all this stuff, we are identifying with the program and not identifying with the infinity of who we are. And when we identify with the program and forget we're infinite, then we are a manipulator's party trick.
How many people would be able to pull themselves away from this, David, and realize that what they think is reality is not?
Well, it's possible for everyone to do it. Pressure, of course, is for them not to do it. And this is an amazing coincidence, is it not, that society is actually structured to prevent people doing that. We're constantly told that we're this or we're that. We're constantly told that there are limits and limitations. Constantly told, infinite consciousness doesn't exist. And so all the pressure is for us not to go there. But what is happening, you must have seen in your show over the years,